6.7%. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to overreact to it. We still got 15 games to go. But let's say the Twins lose the game in hand. Let's say we're just four out of this thing. Because again, there will be no game 163.
Right.
You have to finish a full game ahead. They have the tiebreaker on you for season series. Four games out, 15 games to go. I will give you the game. Let's say the Twins beef the extra game. So start doing the math and let's see what this really takes.
Okay.
So I want you to tell me, in the last 15 games, what does Minnesota do? So for instance, they got three against the Reds this weekend. They got four against the Guardians. They got three against the Marlins. They got three against the Red Sox. And they got three against the Orioles. I'm pretty sure I did that right. 16 games. Chop one of the games off as the extra. In a 15-game rip, I checked the Minnesota papers today. It sounds like Byron Buxton, it's going to be a pain tolerance thing. Mm-hmm. He's got hip soreness, but he wants to be back. He's in the cage. Carlos Correa, who's been hurt since mid-July with plantar fasciitis. I read more about Carlos Correa's relationship with his physical therapist. Not like you with your dentist. I mean, professional.
Flag!
And just the new treatments. Long story short, Correa was in the cage last night. The idea is they will get their two most important players back. But over a 15-game run, pick a record for Minnesota, and then we can do the math on what it's going to take for the Tigers. 8-9?
I was about to say, yeah, if you just 15 games.
Excuse me, 7-8.
I was going to say 8-7.
Okay, so if it's 8-7, do the math. You got to go 12-3. You start to.
Reality kicks in.
Well, or excuse me, it could be 11-4. It could be 11-4 if they're four out, four game differential. Yes. But if the Twins play anywhere close to 500 baseball, it is putting you up against it to where you will have to be flawless. Today was a game you couldn't lose because of this tiebreaker issue. So I wanted to know from the people just kind of where are you at? Again, the thought process, and I'm guilty. I didn't want to start Scooble against the Rocks. I said, let's save him for, you know, you go adjust the start so he's facing Baltimore. And as sports would have it, shout out NIU Notre Dame, you lost with him on the mound of the Rockies. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back to what we said yesterday when I thought the three was more obtainable. Why? Because it didn't make sense. Because they were just on this magical journey. I think we both were in agreement. Today was supposed to be a BOGO. Today, if you won, yes, last night, today was the easy game. It was the free square. It was Scooble. He leaves the game. You're winning 2-1. And you figure, okay, you could just put this thing away because your staff has just been doing miraculous things. And instead you lose. And as you said, Mike, it hurts because it was Scooble. And this is the second time in a row because yeah. You think that of all the different things going on with the staff, he's the constant. He's the guy that's going up for the Cy Young. You can get enough runs to win the game for you.
So I'd love to know where the people are at with it. Just the idea of how bad is today? Is it an overreaction to say today really hurt? I don't think so. You know, you're just running out of games. I mean, I can say with a decent amount of confidence, if we had a month to go, like if there were 25 games left, not 15, I actually think you would do this. I do. Part of that.
Just running out of runway?
Yeah, I feel like it. And again, it's not, I'm not devaluing anything the Tigers have done. I was with you yesterday. I absolutely believed in the four games out versus three. But like just looking at records, I mean, let's say the Twins really clown car this thing. Right? Like they just really play horrific in their last 16 games. So they're going to lose the extra. So you need to be four games better, not five. If they win the extra, you got to be five.
So they clown car
6-10.
I was about to say 6-9.
No, I'm saying they lose the extra. Call okay. It 6-10. You got to go 9-6. But you see, this is where if the Twins get anywhere near 500, it is going to put you in a position you're going to have to go 10-5, 11-4, 12-3. Mm-hmm. If the Twins actually play decent baseball and let's say go 9-7, I mean your margin is null. So it's crazy to think they've lost the last two Scooble starts. It really is, but they have against the A's and the Rockies. Now, you could offset it and go, yeah, but guys, they've won every other game. Fair. But the idea is you don't lose when this guy's on the mound. You don't.
No. That was the disheartening thing, especially when he left. You had the lead. You go out there, you get 9 more outs, and this is a whole different conversation that we're having.
Barring something nuts, and like when you're in mid to late September in a pennant chase, winning 3, 4, 5 games in a row is nuts. That's hard to do. Is this an overreaction to say you can't lose the series to Baltimore? You can't lose 2 out of 3 here, right?
You've got to win this series. Mike, I'm wondering, have you gotten to the point where you can't lose a series?
Yeah, probably.
You can't afford to.
Right.
You also can't afford to put up a 4-hit night when Scooble's on the mound.
Yeah. Well, and Kenny, you and I were talking about it early on in the game. And you're sitting here and you're going, look, man, Feltner's atrocious. The Rockies pen is atrocious. Kinley, the guy they bring in to close the game, has got a 6 ERA. He allows an OPS 800. Like, this is a horrendous baseball team. And we were sitting there, and I'm like, you're playing with fire, man.
Yeah.
And even early in the game, it took Riley Green robbing either a double or a home run. I don't feel like adjudicating that. But, like, you had escaped that. You had escaped 2 men on, nobody out. Like, the pressure was on all day, and your offense was providing nothing.
What pitcher had the best ERA on that staff, on the Rocky staff? Which pitcher did they trot out with the best? And what was that ERA? It was like a 5?
Yeah, they're
or
awful.
A 6?
Kenny, they're the White Sox in purple. They're, I think they have 50 wins. So, yeah, I'd love to know from the people. It feels like more than a loss today. If you disagree, there's no yelling and screaming. You could sell me. But Scooble on the mound, you're going for a sweep against the second to last easy team you play. Everything else will be difficult. And you give one away today, as Kenny put it. 4 hits, can't happen. You don't have the margin. Now look, if the Twins continue to fall off a cliff and they go 5-11 in their last 16 games, the whole dynamic of this changes.
Right, but more and more, it's out of your control.
And don't want to get to the hope phase of can my opponent shove their head so forcibly up their wazoo that I can go 500.
Yeah. Tigers, yeah, you don't want it to be the Tigers have to win 5 in a row and the Twins have to lose 5 in a row.
Right. And today's loss because of your tiebreaker. The tiebreaker situation is what paints this differently. If you had the tiebreaker, well, it's not 4 out as of today or 5 if the Twins win the extra game. It's 3. 3 is 3. Mm-hmm. Much different. So it's a bummer, man. I mean, for Scoob, like to lose a Scooble start at home against the Rocks. I realize the Tigers today were -300 if you're in Vegas. Heaviest favorites in the league today.
Serious?
Wow. That's on that. You can't lose that game.
I almost wonder if there's a little bit of, well, Scooble's on the mound, so we don't have to try. I mean, I hate to accuse a team of that, but they've been trying so hard with these
openers.
That
opinion is Kenny Katz.
No. But I see where Kenny is coming from. Not that you don't have to try, but I would say this, Kenny, you play in a little more relaxed because
you feel like the margin for error is a little bit less.
Yes, that I don't have to go out there and play hero ball because we got Scooble, and I can just go out there and do my thing, and hopefully we win this game. Whereas when you know there's somebody out there pitching that's, you know, straight up from the minors, I got to do a little extra.
How else can you explain 4 hits against one of the worst teams in all of baseball?
But Kenny, hold on. Here's the issue. That's who you are. Like, yes, we've been lost in the sauce here this run. There are still – last week you won a game 2-1. Like, no team in baseball is capable of a 4-hit game like you.
I'm just tired of it either being 11 runs like 2 days ago, 9 runs like yesterday, or 0 runs with 4 hits like today.
There's a lot of volatility. That's part of having a young team.
I said that's been this team's MO all year.
Very frustrating.
I mean, if you think about it, how many 1-0, 2-1 games did they lose in April and May?
Well, at one point, weren't they 0-16 if they didn't score 4 runs?
It was some ridiculous stat like
all
that.
All of it plays. 248-539-9797. I want to get with the people. We'll get some ticket texts. We got some football to discuss today. has the negativity gone too far with Michigan? No, not being cheating scumbags. That'll never go far enough. But the actual football team. Some interesting perspective by people who cover the sport wanting you to tell me whether there's validity to it.
Are you going to say nice things?
Absolutely not. I don't make the news. I just report it. 248-539-9797. We'll talk to the people next. 97.1. All right, brutal Tigers loss today. We're talking about just how bad or, you know, again, if it's an overreaction, call us out on it. But we do have royalty in the building. Normally, he joins us. Guy's body temperature's running at like 130. He comes in here a sweaty mess on Fridays to talk football with us. But Thomas John Lang would like to speak with us today on your Detroit Tigers.
Is he at the game?
I can't confirm or deny. TJ, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, fellas? Man, that game absolutely disgusted me. I'm not going to lie. Mike, and we were texting last night. I think, and listen, I heard AJ Hinch on the morning show this morning talking about, hey, the pitching staff's doing well. We don't want to mess with anything. Dude, I get it. You have 15 games left. You have to win now. But I think it's criminal. Criminal, Mike.
Oh, dear.
That they pitched Tarik Skubal today instead of saving him against the Orioles. And A.J. Hinch said something about, hey, we got to look at the future lineups. We got to look at the – nobody cares about the future lineups 6 games from now if you don't win now. I think it was absolutely criminal what A.J. Hinch did today, putting Tarik Skubal on the mound instead of doing – and look, I get it, dude. You got a bunch of young players, and yes, they have been pitching well. But to not save Tarik Skubal for this weekend series against the Orioles, who are a way better team than the Colorado Rockies, I think was absolute criminal. And you know what, Rico, I thought you made a good point earlier where you said, I think a lot of players do take it for granted. Oh, we got Skubal, man. He'll make us right.
Yeah.
Hey, I can go out there and we'll just, you know, we'll do what we do. But, you know, we got Skubal on the mound. He'll make it right. I was disgusted that they didn't save him. I chalked it up as the win. And to watch that game and to watch how this team played, I thought was bad. It was horrible. I think this is going to be the season-defining game to where, you know what, maybe the pitchers do stay hot over the next couple weeks. Maybe they do end up within a game or two. But I thought this game was absolutely disgusting. And look, another thing I'll say, guys. When A.J. Hinch tells his players, hey, we got to stay with what we're doing, you don't have time for that. Look, if this is June and you say, hey, we don't want to mess with the development and we don't want to mix things around, we got a long season ahead of us, right? I get that. But when you're right here, September 12th, within 3 games, you got to look at your team and say, guys, you know what? We've been doing it right the way – we've won a lot of games doing it this way, but guess what? It's nut crunch time. We got to go win these games, all right? So I'm going to put my best lineup out there. I'm going to save my pitchers for the games that really matters, and you guys got to go pick up the slack. A.J. Hinch doesn't do that, and I think he's so afraid to mess with the young players' development, which I get, but at the same time, you're this close, man. Like, you're this close. You got to change it up once in a while, guys. I was just so – Mike, I know I already said, we were texting about it last night. I was just – dumbfounded how you did not find a way to go to throw a bullpen day out there.
But here's the problem.
Say, you know what, guys, go figure it out. And we need Skubal for this weekend.
TJ, I agree. I agree on principle, but here's the problem. Like, I agree with everything you're saying, but the problem is they didn't win today with him on the mound.
And you just wait, but that's what even makes it worse is you just wasted him.
Oh, well,
you
it's the last
now
two.
Now you don't have Skubal available for the Orioles. You just wasted him against a terrible Colorado team. That's what – it's almost a double whammy. It just hurts so much more because now we don't have somebody to say, okay, at least we've got the Orioles coming to town, but at least Skubal's on the mound tomorrow, right? At least we can steal the first one. That's the thing that hurts. And like I said, I think Rico made a great point where if you throw a bullpen day out there, the guys know – we have to pick up the slack. I think part of you as a player thinks, hey, Skubal's on the mound, man. We can go out there and we can kind of coast. We can kind of cruise. He's going to keep him to a run or two. We'll figure it out. That's what that's the double whammy because now we don't even have Skubal for a crucial weekend series. I think that's what hurts even more.
Yeah. No, TJ, there's no doubt. By the way, TJ appearing at your local ice rink tonight. He is spicy.
And okay, TJ, for the record, Kenny came up with the initial idea.
Kenny was very hurt, credit. TJ, that you didn't accredit him for his lone good point in 2024.
Oh, come on.
He's very upset. TJ hung up the phone. He'd had enough. Thank you, TJ.
Wow.
TJ, very, very
multicultural.
Yeah, very multicultural.
He's diverse. Insult for everybody. Look, you get an insult.
But his look, his point is well taken. I'm not mad at the point. It's just it's tougher when you lose it. But look, this is two starts in a row for Scooble. Remember, they lost that 13-inning insane game where Scooble gave them six innings, mm-hmm. gave them two earned runs. They lost to the A's. And you come back a week later and you lose to the Rockies with Scooble on the mound. Now, this is the team of destiny thing where in between, hey, it's Gregory Gunther and Bob Salmon, and it's like they're winning all those games. You can't drop games with the Cy Young on the mound.
Right.
Now TJ's point is, all right,
you should have played him against the better
but
team.
But only after the Baltimore series are we really going to be able to get not get angry, but to say whether there was value. Because here's the thing, if they had won today, you can't be mad, but you could ask the question, don't you wish we would have had him tomorrow night? When you lose with him on the mound, it's hard for me to muster up anger.
And I guess I may be speaking for TJ, but I think he's saying, let's say you lose with a bullpen day today, but knowing that you have Scooble going up against the Orioles, yeah. you feel a lot better. Okay, we dropped this one. The magic kind of wore off a little bit, but our ace is going to be on the mound.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
And you're right. Like, there won't be a game you'll be as confident. If Scooble had been on the mound against Baltimore, any of these three games, you're going into that going, all right, we're winning one of these games. So if we...
Can we steal one?
I don't want to turn... I'm gonna be Rico from yesterday. Yesterday, Rico was like the bumper bowling. Rico inflated the bumpers so the topic stayed on the tracks. I'm not going to turn into this, but this has been the one problem I have, is the team hasn't done anything to show you urgency. Anything. And whether it was calling up the kids earlier when the season looked lost, they didn't do it. Whether it was DFAing Baez earlier, please, I do not want to hear about Chris Illich's wallet. It is not my problem. Whether it was, hey, we're going to promote Job to Toledo instead of bring him up for make him an opener. Let's get a look. He can't be on the playoff roster, but let's get a look. And to not condensing Scooble's workload, but stretching it out with extra rest. Nowhere along the line have they done the things where urgency could be attached to it. That is the one hangup I have with the magic of the last month, is none of it is geared like the organization is, I hate saying trying, but like how about doing all they can? Is that fair?
That's fair.
248-539-9797. A ton of people want to rap about this. We're going to get right to you guys next. 97.1. All right, we're talking to the people. We've got a bonus call from TJ Lang. And again, I'm not overreacting. You're not done, but today really hurt. I can't, like, BS you. You know, I'm not going to do what Michigan fans do. They'll spit in your face and tell you it's raining. No, I this hurt. Colorado's horrific. You had arguably the best pitcher in the sport on the mound, and you lost. And now you're a full four games out. And if the Twins win their game in hand, it will be five, because there is no tie. They own the tiebreaker. So, yeah, it hurt going into the Baltimore
series. There is no tomorrow.
Stallion, there is no tomorrow. Can I a serious question, Kenny? Can we get that as a drop at some point?
Absolutely.
I need Apollo Creed slapping Stallone in the face. And just, there is no
Damn
tomorrow.
It, Rock.
Right. So I just, look, tell me where you're at with it. I'm not screaming and yelling. TJ was fired up about the Scooble thing. The problem is when you don't win, and he was on the mound, it takes a little bit of starch out of that. That's why today feels like BOGO the wrong way.
But see, I am starting to wonder, maybe Kenny was onto something because it was Colorado and because you had Scooble out there. You just didn't give it 100%. It's how you see, you know, Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame, because you're thinking, oh, we could beat these guys with whatever we have, and you relax. But when you play the Orioles, everybody's going to be dialed in. Everybody's going to be focused.
All right, let's get to the people. I want to bump somebody to the front of the line. I want to bring Seth to the table. He's going to set people straight who are overreacting. Seth to the main stage.
Yeah, no, I'm actually going to disagree. I think you guys are overreacting. you know, this is the best span of Tigers baseball in the last 10 years. That's not great, but, I mean, at least they're winning games. They're in games late, you know, and they're finding ways to win for the most part. Sure, should they have won the game? Am I mad they didn't win the game? Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's the majors, right? And you're playing, you know, Major League Baseball players, and, you know, you're not always going to, you know, hit the ball great. And, I mean, that's been the biggest story about them all year. But at the end of the day, I think it's a pretty big overreaction that they've been playing pretty solid baseball for the
last month. Just so I'm clear, Seth, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but I feel like you're arguing a different radio host. We're talking about the playoff chase. All I'm saying is when you lose a game to the Rocks with Scooble on the mound, it feels like more than one loss. Now, if you think that's an overreaction, that's fine, but I don't disagree with anything you led with.
Okay, so here's my thing about Scooble pitching. And you, starting pitchers have routines, right? And you can't just, you know, push a guy a day back because they're facing the Orioles. That's not how it works. You mess up their entire routine. You know, they have a set plan every single day before they start pitching. You can't just say, oh, you're facing the Orioles, so you're going to pitch against the Orioles. You know, you have to win the games that are set out in front of you, no matter against if it's against the Rockies or, the, you know, whoever.
But so hold on, Seth. Hold on, I'm going to let you finish. They've already destroyed that continuity when AJ came out and said, you know what, we're going to start throwing him every fifth or sixth game instead of every four game.
Right, you could chart out who he was going to face. And the conversation, look, I'm not like TJ, Seth. TJ's been fired up about this the last 3 days. This conversation was had. I mean, John Jansen talked about it late last week. You absolutely could see on the horizon who he was going to be up against. But I agree with you, Seth, is that when you lose with him on the mound, I can't go crazy about it.
Right. And I disagree that he pushed him back to 6 days? 100%. I understand, you know, you don't want him to get hurt, but you guys are right. That's definitely not making a playoff push by any means.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm still saying that you guys are kind of overreacting based on, you know, one game. I mean, it's the major leagues. Sure, Scooble's on the mound. Sure, you're facing the Rockies.
Okay.
But, you know, you're still playing major league baseball players, and they've done well bouncing back against, you know, bad losses like this. So I just want to see how they do. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe that was the end of the line, and they're going to get.
I don't think it's the end of the line, Seth. I started the show by saying it's not over, but it hurt. No, I'm fine if you think it's an overreaction. You're right. Maybe they all count one, but I explained the math as to why this wasn't just one.
No, you know what? You had a few games that you could drop. You just didn't think one would be with Scooble on the mound to the Rockies.
Two.
So
you lost in Oakland last week with him on the mound, and you lost here. And if you combine the records of the Oakland A's, who are about 20 games under 500, 25, and the Rockies, who are 40, and I told you you would lose both those Scooble starts, and then my next question is, do you think you'd make the playoffs? You'd go, no.
Yeah. See, that because that's just it. You're on the razor's edge. Yes, you're going to lose some games.
Now, sweep the Orioles this weekend, and we're back.
Conversation.
But don't you almost have to sweep the Orioles this weekend? That's what it kind of feels like to me.
I can't say that because it really... Look, what did I do when I started the show? I said, okay, here's your math. Now you're down to 15 games. The Twins have 16. Let's say they lose the game in hand. Okay, so you got to be four games better over a 15-game rip. If the Twins go 500, Kenny, my answer would be yes. You probably would have to sweep.
I guess I'm more saying that emotionally because today, for me at least, I don't know how the rest of Tiger Nation feels, but today, for me, this felt like a backbreaker. It really did.
It's not a backbreaker.
I know it's
Kenny.
Not no, mathematically. No, you're right.
It's frustrating because, once again, you're going to lose some games. If you lost to the Orioles, you don't feel that badly. But when you lose to bad teams with your ace on the mound, it's like, guys, we this is one we couldn't afford to give away.
Yeah, we just talked yesterday, Kenny, and it was, look, you got the first game against the Rocks. If you get tonight, it's a BOGO. You have to preserve the games against the Rockies and the games against the White Sox if we're really doing this. So to answer your question, if the Twins cannot be better than they've been over their last 22 games, which they're 7-15, then... No, you don't need to sweep anybody. Just play semi-consistent baseball, be above 500, you'll creep in. But if the Twins are remotely average, it will put you in a position where you got to be like 12-3 or 13-4.
And as good as we've been and as bad as the Twins have been, I think water finds its level. And I felt like today was the first step in that.
Yeah, and again, the Twins have been without Correa and Buxton. both guys are close to coming back. I would say Buxton sooner than Correa. But yeah, it's just game by game. Now your assignment is get game one against Baltimore. Get off on the right foot here and get game one. And look, the Orioles rotation stinks. Stinks. They don't have anybody. All their pitchers are dead.
Yeah. And as I said,
they got Maury Povich on Sunday.
Are you the father?
You might be his daddy.
Well, here's
he's terrible. They're terrible. They have no arms right now.
Yeah, you gave away a game early that you couldn't afford to. So now it's yeah, I think we have reached the point you got to win each series if you really want a puncher's chance. Because
win every series, sweep the White Sox.
Because, yeah, because this is one where you can put the heat on the Twins. But if you go out there and you're just playing mediocre, you're letting them off the hook.
So 4-2, 6-3, 8-4. That would put you, if you won every series and swept the White Sox, you'd go 11-4. Meaning, you would need the Twins to be worse than 9-8.
Right.
Because just to give you the math on that.
Because if not, Kenny, close your ears, earmuffs. You'll look back at the A's and you'll look at back like at the game today for the Wings losing to the Coyotes.
How could he do that to us, Kenny?
You had to go there. No, you just had
earmuffs.
To.
I said earmuffs.
Poor Kenny.
I said earmuffs.
I miss David.
248-539-9797. Let's keep it timely. I'll mix in briefly. We can mix football. We can get to the callers. A lot left to do today. 97-1. Apollo, RIP. All right. Kenny, you want to get a little football in the mix? We'll return to the Tigers in a second. Let's get a little music, please.
All right, guys.
Oh, it's you.
It's me.
All right. Hi. What do you want?
You know what, Mike? Let's still have some fun with week one.
Okay.
How about we do some quarterback rankings based off of their performances for week one?
Daniel Jones, number 63.
It didn't go. The bar didn't go that low.
We didn't arrive there.
I have the top 10 plus the one who just didn't make the cut.
All right, go
and
ahead.
You could tell me if too high, too low, or you know what? In the end, this guy belonged in there.
I love week one overreaction.
So, yeah, like I said, not saying that this is going to be the greatest quarterback, but just based off of week one performance, we start off with the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love.
He's dead.
Week one performance. He played all the way until the final second
of
the
last
play. So,
I didn't have a huge problem. I mean, Jaden Reed apparently is Jerry Rice.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't bum me out because I want the Lions to win the Super Bowl. It only bums me out if we separate that and I go, look, I thought this guy was going to ascend into a top five QB this year. Hard to do when you probably missed the first month of the season.
This is true. Kenny?
No, I'm right there with you. And by the way, this is a power rank with quarterbacks, so I guarantee you one of our show favorites is going to be on there. Mr. Privilege Rat.
Ugh.
He's in there, isn't he, Rico?
At number 10, Jalen Hurts. Hurts was 20 of 34 for 278 yards and two touchdowns.
He looked great.
Yeah.
He did. I got it wrong. I really wondered if the Eagles would ever look like they did 2 years ago. They looked awesome. And there's nothing I can say. Yeah, great. He's back. Super. Super for all.
At number 9, Gardner Minshew. 25 of 33. 257 yards, one touchdown, one interception. I didn't say for the season. I said for this week, for last week.
Speaking of week, are you aware of what Antonio Pierce did? He made, by analytics, so all Dan Campbell fans are going to like this. From an analytical perspective, he made the weakest, most spineless jellyfish decision in the last 20 years of the NFL. Punting at midfield on 4th and inches down in the second half. That type of call hasn't been seen since Bill Parcells coached the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Antonio Pierce.
Kenny.
Yeah, that's just fine with me.
At number 8, fresh off of his victory over the Colts, Texans quarterback CJ Stroud, 24-32, 234 yards, two TDs.
Just nothing I can say. It's unbelievable how he walked into the league and just continues on the routine. You never feel like he's a young QB. You never feel like he struggles. It just works. And that wasn't even his A game.
No.
I would term that as a solid CJ Stroud performance.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot more of him on these power ranks.
I can't wait for the game this week. Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud on the big stage. To just see if Caleb can get up off the mat and be functional. But B, I just genuinely like watching CJ Stroud.
I like CJ Stroud. And unfortunately, because of what he did, I think that's where the pressure comes on this year's quarterbacks. You're going to be like him. And this is where I always caution people. Like, no, it normally doesn't work that way. CJ was a unicorn. Just like Sauce as a corner was a unicorn. Most guys don't start off that good.
Do unicorns stand on the sideline when they're not injured?
No, that's just Mr. Dangerous.
Got it.
At number 7. Now, I don't know if it was because of who he played, but you know what? He had great stats. So I got to give it to Derek Carr. He played the Panthers, but 3 touchdowns in the game.
You can mark this. This will be the only time Derek Carr appears on a top 10 power rank.
I was just about to say, the last guy we're going to see a lot, this guy we will not see.
Now, this is a one and done right here. This is a hit and run.
All right. The next guy I have is almost the opposite, the antithesis of what happened to Derek Carr. Because everything got stripped from him, at number 6 is Matthew Stafford. 34, 49, 317, touchdown and a pick. No O-line. One of your top receivers is gone. And
I'd have him
still
higher.
Took him to
overtime. I'd have him higher. It was one of the 3 most impressive, all things considered, performances of the week. Stafford was incredible. Incredible. I'd have him a little higher, but I'm glad he's on the list.
Okay. Still waiting on Brock Purdy.
Oh, don't worry. That's going to be number 1.
I know. That's exactly what I'm worried about.
Rat.
At number 5, this is the Mike Valeni special. 26 for 41 for 273 yards, a touchdown. Plus, he rushed for 122 yards. Averaging 7.6 yards a carry. That is Lamar Jackson.
Listen, it's a great regular season QB. The problem is, he's still Lamar. You can't have that rushing total as you head towards age 30. You can't have that rushing total and want your respect as a quarterback. And you can't miss wide open people when there's an opportunity to win the game, which he did the play before the Isaiah Likely play. He was splendid to watch. And it was one of the best performances of the week. But don't ever ask me to love him. Go win something.
Okay. Yeah, really solid regular season quarterback. I mean, he's going to have
fun. He's fun guy.
Right, 100%. He's going to have a ton of these performances, by the way, in the regular season.
Fun guy.
Okay. And number 4, for our guest phone screener, Paul Tua
Tagovailoa. You're not putting Tua up here, are you?
Yeah, at number 4. 23 of 37, 338 yards and a touchdown.
Problem is he didn't pay off those drives enough. That's all I would tell you. When you only score 20 points, I got a little problem with you. But you're right. He looks great. I think he's going to have a big game tonight. I know Paul's scared. He thinks they're losing to the Bills. I digress.
Yeah, Josh Allen 6-0 on Thursday night, and he's like 10-3 against the Dolphins. I'm a little concerned.
Whatever. Humidity. Things. I don't know. Leave it alone.
Kenny, you ready? At number 3.
Here we go. On.
Really?
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, great. I agree. Now, he played a garbage defense, and these stats are trumped up.
Right.
But he was outstanding. And by the way, he should have had another 50-yard touchdown on there if Jalen McMillan didn't drop it.
Yeah, 24 of 30, 289 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah. Washington, going to be a rough road on defense this year.
At number 2.
Don't.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
291 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
Here's what the Chiefs are now. They're the greatest show on turf, 2024. They have retooled, and they are what the Rams were all those years ago, 25 years ago almost. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Their speed.
Xavier Worthy.
Everywhere. Rashi Rice, the running back core.
How stupid do you have to be the Buffalo Bills to
and trade twice with them and allow them to get both McDuffie and now Worthy.
Right.
I know.
Congratulations.
Well, how stupid you got to be to live in Buffalo. Awful.
Or All Tony American Ortiz on City. Line 3.
Please. Place sucks.
And at number one.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Come
fresh
on.
Fresh off of his win you lose all your, on Monday
you lose
night.
Your credibility.
No. Actually, Paul brought his name up. Josh Allen.
Oh, thank God. All
Josh
right, good.
Josh Allen, 18 of 23, 232 yards, two touchdowns, and he rushed for 39 yards and scored two touchdowns.
Including a no Sean Moreno t-shirt leap.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. He went Superman mode, and when Allen's at his best, that's what he can do. Now, tonight, he's going to throw a red zone interception. I'm so proud of you. I was so scared you were going to put that rodent on this list.
The second Rico brought up, oh, I have a QB power rank, I was like, oh, here we go.
Right, right.
But you know what? It was the reverse of the reverse. That's the Jedi mind trick. See, I can do this. No, his stats weren't that. He didn't throw for any touchdowns. So.
Because he sucks.
No.
Great power rank.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
97-1.